Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 9.
Yeah, man.
Kicks off tonight in the NFL. I mean, we're halfway, which is crazy. I mean, it flies by. We always say it when we're getting there at the end of summer. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy every single week you can, because it flies by once it starts. Thursday Night Football tonight between the Ravens and the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson will be back, so that should be fun. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes from right now. Back into all of the other games in college football beyond just Georgia and Florida, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes as well.
God, dog, I lost this clip because I was with all these coach firings and everything, and Kent State, whoever they're
right,
yeah, they went ahead and just gave him a kind of like, all right,
they promoted him from interim,
yeah, like here you go, all right, we like what we've seen. Mm-hmm. Here's your contract. You're going to be the next coach for the next 4 years. I'm like, that wouldn't happen in one of these other jobs. Because, like,
happened at Tech.
They let him finish out the season, right? Yeah. Right. This mid-season.
But kind of. Yeah.
But I thought, do you think, I'm curious, when you just said that, do you think that the Georgia Tech base or whoever makes hires thought the Brink he was beating good?
No.
I don't think so.
I remember when they made the hire, so, and there was a lot of people that were like, oh, this is low budget.
Yeah.
Small-minded, yep. Not creative, yep. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, whatever. You say whatever you want and then pretend no one heard you 2 years
ago.
Exactly.
He just went kicked all them in the nuts.
Yeah, and now you're like, it's the smartest thing they've ever done, and I knew it would be.
Yep. Yeah, he went kicked. And I bet whoever his agent is like, hey, partner, you remember all that? You remember that bump y'all gave us? We don't want no bump, dog.
Yeah, it's not a bump.
No, it's not a bump, bro. We won't. What's bigger than a bump? Knot.
An eight ball.
Oh. Knot.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Knot or a boil or whatever,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, something.
Something. We need something bigger than that, right? Than a little bump, you know? But, I was just curious about that. They really thought, like, okay. We'll let him go over a couple of years, and then we'll see if we can find somebody more attractive.
To me, it reminds me of the Brian Snicker situation.
Yes,
where it was like, that's convenient. And he did pretty good. They seem to like him. He's an alum.
Right.
Let's keep him around. And then, lo and behold, here we are. They got a chance to be 9-0. If they win on the road on Saturday night against NC State, it's, you know, I mean, we keep doing this with a lot of different teams, but it's happening with Georgia Tech this year, where it's like they haven't had this record since some date in the distant, distant past.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff with Vanderbilt. It's like they haven't beaten a ranked team since this. They haven't been ranked like this since that.
Amazing what a portal when money can do.
You get the right quarterback and the right coach. You allocate the right funds to the right spots, and you're in it.
Yep.
It's what it is.
I mean,
it literally is in this, because you and me, I think, get annoyed at the microwave desires of society a lot these days. It literally is a microwave world in college football right now, which is why people get so mad so quickly and you fire coaches in the middle and pay them $50 million to go away. I also do think a little bit like, I think some things that happen in one sport, and I'm separating college football and the NFL in this one for the sake of the argument. I think sometimes the NBA, what they do, can mess up people's perception of what's happening in the NFL. That always happens with the money, right? Or what happens in baseball and some of the guaranteed there. Like, I think people get caught applying the thought process of one sport to another one.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening a lot right now in the NFL with the mentality of college football coaches, because it's never been a quicker trigger to fire a college football coach than right now.
Like, we'll just take that.
And people want that in the NFL too, because it's football. And yeah, you have the same passion for your college team as you might have for your NFL team. And all right, well, it's not going the way that I want it to. Get him out of here. Get the new guy in. The NFL doesn't tend to work like that.
It is now.
Historically, it is a little bit more like that now.
Yeah.
So it's not quite college because not a lot of teams do it. But yeah, I mean, how many guys over the last couple of years, even New England, like you're playing the Patriots this weekend, they got him out of there pretty quick.
Yeah. When you look at that whole situation, like the Patriots, it was one, you know, Bill was out and Gerard was the guy. He was a handpicked guy. And that was years prior. Yeah,
he had been the coach in waiting for years.
Years prior.
Which
to Bill Lee.
Does that ever work in the NFL? Because it rarely happens. But does it ever work?
Not that I could think of.
I can only think of two examples of it even happening off my top of my head because I didn't think about it till now. But that one didn't work.
Okay.
And then Mike Holmgren handpicked Jim Moore Jr.
That's
in Seattle, and that was a disaster.
That's what it was. But then, you look in college. I mean, Muschamp was the coach waiting in Texas for all those years after Mac. But then Florida came with the job, and Will left and stuff like that. But I think when you look at the quick hook now, it's funny because you're like, damn, you learned that much after 2 years. Because usually a coach would get 3 or 4 cycles of recruiting.
In college, you used to get a recruiting cycle.
Yeah, you would
but
get that.
There's no such
thing as that anymore. And that's why when we were talking, I think we might have been talking about this on Tuesday off the air, and there was something that Sark said, and he was talking about building a culture in college. Well, the hardest thing about it is because so many guys leave and you bring so many guys into that culture, and the guys you're bringing into that culture a lot of times are not high school kids. They're coming from another culture in college the way they did it. So then you got to reprogram them to bring it in. Like when you get a kid around high school, it's easy. Come on in there. But when you get a guy from college, from another school, that's probably been in either multiple schools or at a school multiple years, trying to unprogram them to get into yours.
And you might not even be able to unprogram them. It's harder now for two reasons, obviously. You know how you got him.
Yep.
You gave him a whole bunch of money. And he can leave again if he wants to. If he doesn't like your program, he can just he just take his bag and go someplace else. That does make it really hard. I'm interested to see, and this kind of does lead us into the Georgia-Florida conversation just from a coaching standpoint. We'll get more into the football of it as this segment goes on and the week goes on. But I'm interested to see what Florida does with their head coaching job in the first place. Obviously, it's a very big one. It's open again for the many times over the last decade or so. So they're obviously one of the schools that has a quick trigger as well. And they tried to be patient with Billy Napier.
They did.
Obviously, he sort of fought off the Wolves last year and was given a chance this year and ultimately failed. And here we are again. Kirby is in such an interesting spot of clearly had mastered that last era of college football.
Yes.
Clearly. Of talent acquisition and stacking and depth and doing it that way. Back-to-back national championships. Very easily could have had a third one. And he's obviously maintained that level. I don't think anybody's ever going to be where they were and maybe Alabama was and some of those programs that mastered that era in this era because of what we just talked about, all the transition and how easy it is to leave. I'm interested to see what ends up being kind of the hallmark of great coaches in this era.
Right.
Because I think it's a little different than it was.
It is.
It was back then.
It is because you look at Georgia. What's Georgia's biggest issue? They can't rush the passer. Well, one of the top pass rushers in the conference was on your team last year.
Literally on their team last year.
Yeah.
And he left.
And he left.
I'm
not saying green. Well, greener pastures. Yeah, greener. Yeah.
But he's got 6.5 sacks individually in Missouri, and Georgia has 8 as a defense.
Yes.
It'd be nice
to have that guy right now, man. And so, I mean, when you look at how Kirby's all – because Kirby is a football savant. The man can coach his ass off.
I think that's hallmark.
Yeah.
I think that transcends eras.
Yes, he coaches – he's a generational coach. You know, and as long as he's at Georgia, we're always going to be in the mix. You know, it's not going to be one of those things where you're not going to see Georgia fall off. We might not win championships like that, but we're not going to fall off till you're like, okay, the alumni base is going to be like, hey, is it time to move on?
That'll
never happen. Herbie will leave Georgia when he wants to leave Georgia. Yep. But I mean, when you look at this weekend, we talked about it yesterday, and obviously we'll get deep into it tomorrow. It's like you're going. The new coach energy, you've had 2 weeks. Well, Georgia's had 2 weeks too, you know. But the thing about it this year has been so different because all of the damn games seem to be the same type of damn game where you're sitting there like, oh, hell. Oh, hell. Okay. Oh, get out.
Just get a stop.
Come on.
It's 3rd and 7. Yeah. Just get a stop.
And that's usually the whole first half.
Yeah, dude.
And then you're like, okay.
Georgia's third down defense in the first half has to be the worst in the country.
It has to be. And so now you're going against a team where they're going to got the new play caller. Still have talented guys. New play caller. 2 weeks to implement. I want to say, because I just talked about earlier about the fact that not a whole new system, but new wrinkles.
Yeah, this is different than that, though,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, this is obviously completely different.
The other thing, too, about this situation with Florida is there's nothing to lose.
Nothing at all.
Like we just talked about. You don't promote the interim.
Nope.
Billy Gonzalez.
He's not going to be the candidate. Even if he beats Georgia,
he's not going to be the candidate for Florida.
No. No. No.
Now, if he beats Georgia, that'll maybe help them keep some of these guys that are on the roster potentially.
Maybe.
Be like, hey, this is a good group. Maybe, again, I don't even know if that matters.
Right.
I genuinely don't know what matters besides people want a lot of money and they want to. Maybe they want a chance to win. I think that plays a part of it as well. I don't know how far that is behind money, but it's far behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's nothing to lose. They could run whatever goofy-ass trick play they want first play of the game. What are you going to do, fire me? No. You just fire that guy.
Yeah. I mean,
but I think that makes a team dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. This is a dangerous game for Georgia.
It's not a back against the wall team. We do whatever we want.
If Georgia plays their game, If Georgia,
what is their game?
I don't know. That's what I said. Yeah. I said never mind.
What would that mean?
If Georgia plays, if Georgia's at its best and Florida is at its best with all these new wrinkles, Georgia beat Florida by 2 touchdowns.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
But we ain't seen their best yet. We seen their best in halves.
Uh huh.
What's the best game that Georgia's played?
I mean, opponent dependent
from start to finish. I mean, it probably was the last game they played, and I know they gave up touchdowns on the first five
drives.
You know,
because the offense is
what Ole Miss does, though.
Yeah, I mean, that damn Chambliss, man.
The other thing. It's also what Georgia's defense does this year, unfortunately. Yep. Like, I think we've gotten to the point. No, I don't know. I think that there's a little bit more nuance to it than just, hey, Georgia's defense isn't going to be very good this year. You just have to accept it. I don't know. I mean, obviously they're not what the standard had been. Yep. I think that's pretty clear. But whatever. I mean, no one is. Really young defense. Like the bulk of the big time players on that side of the ball are freshmen, sophomore, underclassmen, like really inexperienced guys. They have a lot more experience now than they did when they played Alabama.
Yep.
They have a lot more experience now. You know what I mean? Like also Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss are three of the top 10 passing offenses in the country.
Yep.
So that defense has seen that now. Florida's not.
No, but Florida has a quarterback. I think Florida has a quarterback just as good as those guys.
Yeah.
Talent-wise.
I don't know.
I mean, I think DJ Lagway's a stud.
I do, too.
I think he's a stud.
I do, too. But, I
think he's a stud.
We got to see it, though.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I just think he's a stud. I agree.
He's a very talented player. But just statistically, their passing offense is bottom five in the SEC. So Georgia's defense has kind of gotten through that gauntlet of offenses that they're playing.
Right.
Remainder of the season, even Tech, who obviously is a really good team and has a dual threat quarterback, but like even Tech doesn't have the offense that some of these teams that they've played already have. So, I mean, it's not crazy to think that a great coach like Kirby, a great defensive coach like Kirby, could develop these young guys as the season goes on.
That was funny as hell what you said.
What?
I said it was bigger than a bump. You did say
I know.
Eight-ball.
It was such a good joke and nobody got it.
Oh, the listener caught it.
Okay. It was such a good joke.
That was pretty damn good. And
exponentially bigger.
Yeah. Which is, and that's what Brent Key should get compared to a bump. Like, that's what his contract jump should be.
That's pretty damn good.
I was looking around like that's nobody.
I'm not surprised Abe didn't. I thought maybe you guys. That's pretty damn good, dog.
So, anyway, I'm
obviously excited about this game. The cocktail party. Georgia's, you know, won with four straight.
Oh,
five straight.
Kyle Pitts was the last time they beat. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Georgia's got to go down there again. They've had 2 weeks also. They had 2 weeks to recover, figure out, you know, Kobe Young's situation. He's out. Do you put Noah in this position? Other guys still go to the fact that Georgia played too many damn guys. You play your best three and let go.
Yeah.
And then sub those guys in. But that's just me.
No, honestly, I think, you know, obviously Kobe Young's a really good player, but I think – think getting a couple of those receivers injured might streamline things a little bit.
Maybe.
Then you just throw it to the guys that are out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to rotate. And I also think Lawson Lucky emerging in the last game is big.
Way to go, Lawson.
Get him involved.
Way to go, Lawson. I mean, both of them.
He's really, Delp too.
Yeah.
They're really good players.
They're good players, like, man. They're good players. And, you know, and obviously we know what Zachariah, he's going to catch.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch two screens, at least.
And one of them's going to go for 37 yards.
He's going to catch two screens.
And one of them's going to go for 2 yards.
Yep,
but he's going to make eight guys miss before he
gets those 2 yards. Hey, guys, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch the local NFL games every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL and get started today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.